Mini episode 246 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You'll want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this NHL season preview, a very special joint broadcast here, the FDH Lounge and Sportsology coming together for this one. This is Rick Morris from the FDH Lounge. We have also with us here the guy who is instrumental in making this happen here today, Russ Cohen of Sportsology and the FDH Lounge, and also Keith Korneluk of KingsCast. Russ and I have broadcast many hours together, and Keith and I have also broadcast together some as well, looking at the world of the National Hockey League, and specifically we're going to get into, again, a look at this season and where things are headed thus far in the very, very early days of this 2013 abbreviated campaign. So good to have both of these guys with us here, Keith and Russ. Guys, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good to have you guys both on. Keith, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, fine, thanks. Looking forward to breaking this down with you guys. Russ, from the perch that you're sitting in, covering a good chunk of the league, as you always do, I know you're focused more specifically on the East Coast, but also the entire league in your coverage of it. What do you think happened with the lockout here in terms of winners and losers? I've really kind of had a hard time deciphering what's been going on with that myself here. It looked like both the owners and players ended up giving on this one here. But in terms of objectives set out by both sides at the outset and objectives reached, how do you score it?
It's kind of hard to score. I'd say owners and players win, fans lose. Getting into the details of like the monetary part, I think the players lost more than they gained. I think they could have gained a lot more had they signed in October or November. I know that first offer was terrible, but then after that they did get some good offers, and I think just losing X amount of games lost a lot of money for them this season, which in turn then you have to sort of tack on to the next few years. So they, you know, the players were focused on making back that money to, quote-unquote, make whole for games they missed, yet they still missed a lot of games. So you really can't make up for it. So I think, but in the end, the fans certainly lost in the beginning. They'll start getting it back now. They're happy. We're all happy it's back. But we're still not seeing the level of play that we should be seeing.
No, that doesn't seem to be the case at all at this point. Keith, as far as the team that you primarily cover, the LA Kings, Stanley Cup champions, of course, what's been the thought out there about whether or not there was going to be a season and how there turns out to be and a slow start for the Kings at that? But was there a thought in some quarters that, hey, better to carry this over into another year of being defending champions, at least on the calendar, or maybe having a better chance to defend when it's not such a scrum, such a free-for-all, such as this schedule promises to be? Was there any mixed feelings out there about hockey coming back as it did?
I think there were a lot of mixed feelings, myself included. I mean, you know, yes, it was nice that, you know, the Kings got some extra time to rest and rehab. You know, a lot of people with lingering injuries. But at the same time, you know, there's a big difference between an 82-game season plus the playoffs and a 48-game season. And, you know, you're coming back and you're defending. You know, but the team that eventually wins the Stanley Cup at the end of the season, I mean, shouldn't there be some sort of asterisk there? I mean, you know, you get a lot of teams get out of the gate. They go real, you know, they get real fast. I mean, you know, the Minnesota Wild that played a 48-game season last year, they would have made the playoffs. it was a mixed bag. You know, I definitely agree that the fans certainly lost, and this it was a little more palatable as a Kings fan who just came off winning the Stanley Cup, you know, to sit out a few games. But, you know, at this point, I think that, you know, for the Kings, I think there are probably more negatives than there are positives. I think everybody wanted to come back. You know, it's a team with good character that really just wanted to play hockey again and, you know, wanted to try and make another run at it.
The only reason, Rick, I wouldn't put an asterisk is because the playoffs will be the same length. So even though they may not have the same amount of regular season, since the playoffs are the same, that's the only reason I wouldn't put an asterisk.
You and I are in a mind meld as always, Russ, because that was going to be my follow-up to talk about the asterisk thing there. Yeah, so that I would kind of agree in that limited sense with you because, again, that's going to be the same thing. What about the road, though, Russ, getting from here to there? Is it going to be a little bit of distortion? Again, the fact that you're not going to be seeing the kind of travel that you'd be seeing over the course of a normal regular season. But, again, with the games being more bunched up as they are, did any of those things come close to putting an asterisk kind of, or do you think that the playoffs are basically a cure-all for that?
Well, it might be a cure-all, but the thing is, we're looking back in the old days where there was a Patrick division and travel was very much like this. So I just think we've gotten used to every team going to every city, but it wasn't always the case. With that said, though, I realize that the West Coast teams do have a bit more travel, and Keith, I don't know if you're watching, but Kings are down 1-0 already.
I just saw, yep. Thanks for that, by the way.
Kind of a rough start for the defending champions, but a lot of teams that were expected to come out strong have not. But some teams that were thought to be pretty good or maybe better than that did come out strong. What do you think, Russ, I'll start with you on this as far as San Jose, Chicago. What do you think some of the bigger stories are at the beginning of the season as far as some teams are really going to have a chance to be there at the end?
Well, I'm not surprised with San Jose or Chicago. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine who's I do another show with called me about Chicago preseason, and I felt like they'd be strong out of the gate because they're still a young core. Their power play is just insane. It's actually the best power play, I think, in the NHL right now. So I didn't have any problems with that, but I didn't do really any prognosticating preseason because I really needed to see who was going to be injured, who was going to make the team, who was going to get sent back. And now 5 games into it, I can give a better example of things, such as, like, am I shocked that, you know, New Jersey's come out strong? No, because they always have a strong organization. Players play the same way. They play the same way in juniors. They play the same way in the AHL. They could seemingly put guys into positions and not have a problem. So I wasn't expecting anything bad out of them. And conversely, for people that were just elevating the Rangers based on last year is not this year. And as you could see, they've got a lot of melding to do. They've got two mediocre lines in the third and fourth line. Their bottom three for defensemen aren't great. So there are definite reasons. But, you know, just because a team was great defensively last year doesn't mean they're great defensively this year. And I think we're seeing that right now. A team like Tampa, I'm not surprised at either because I the one preseason prediction I made was I expected Steven Stamkos to lead the league in scoring, and so far he's not letting me down.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of us that saw Tampa coming back strong from last year and that they probably were closer to their true selves 2 years ago rather than last year. Keith, what do you think in looking at this? You've got San Jose out there in the division with your Kings, so you're getting a pretty close look at them and how they're doing thus far during the season. But what do you think about some of the teams that are riding high at the outset here?
You know, I think some of them are probably meant to be there. You know, teams like Chicago, St. Louis, you know, Vancouver as well, though I know they've had kind of a rocky start. But, you know, for me, San Jose, I don't see them as a playoff team. I know they've choked a lot in the past, but I'm surprised at how well they come out of the gate. I mean, Marlowe just can't stop scoring. you know, but a team like Chicago, you know, that's a team that could, you know, win the President's Trophy, you know, make another run for the Cup, but it was all on Corey Crawford. And I just didn't have really any faith in him, although I drafted him as a third goalie in my fantasy league. But I didn't necessarily see Corey Crawford really taking the reins. And, you know, Ray Emery, you know, certainly has his moments. But, you know, Chicago definitely looks like they've got it between the pipes. And, you know, St. Louis is going to continue to be a force. You know, I didn't want Wade Redden on the Kings, but I think he makes a heck of a lot of sense out there in St. Louis. So, you know, but there's a lot of time. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we've only played a handful of games, and, you know, I don't think looking at the standings that the Kings are going to end up 12th. And, you know, Phoenix, you know, it's always rough there, but they've tipped figures out a way to get them, you know, in the playoffs. And, you know, unfortunately, the, you know, Mike Smith's out and Jason LaBarbera, former King. I mean, that guy just, you know, he's got the talents of a number one goalie, but he just doesn't have the consistency. So looking at both conferences, there's people that should be there, people that shouldn't. I'm real surprised to see Montreal in sixth in the East, that's for sure. And the Islanders in eighth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and like you said, there's always distortions early in the season. Look at how long Minnesota was hanging in there last year, looking like they were going to be legit. As far as teams that have gotten off to a little bit of a tougher start, Russ, this might reek of a point of personal privilege for me to mention them. But again, a national team, one of the few national brands in the NHL, my Detroit Red Wings, getting off to a poor start, a little bit better than opening night. I mean, they've slowly kind of pulled up from there. But what's your macro sense of the organization there, Russ, because you're somebody, again, that's very fixated on prospects. That system just doesn't really seem like it's been the same the last couple of years. I don't know if Jim Nill's pipeline has been drying up in Europe, but what's your sense? I mean, is this organization finally coming to that crossroads?
No, I don't think the pipeline's drying up. I think when you have young guys like Brendan Smith and Jonathan Erickson and they're sort of trying to find their way and they didn't have much training camp, I think you're sort of taking it on the chin a little bit early on because of that. And look, even with Nick Lidstrom, the Red Wings' power play was bad last year, and it's still bad. So you can't really blame that on the young guys. You could only blame that on the coaching staff. Jimmy Howard, for as much as we were just talking about Corey Crawford, and I did get some inside info on him from a friend in Chicago. He's changed his pregame routine where he used to do the soccer ball thing with a lot of other players. He doesn't. Now he sort of goes at it alone and goes in the rink and visualizes. And, you know, for goalies, that may be a good thing. Jimmy Howard, you know, is he Mike Vernon or is he better? I don't know. I've never been 100% sold on him. So I think that's another sort of question mark, whether he's a 1 or a 1A. And right now, since the defense isn't fully solid and you don't have a plethora of stars anymore. Still, Zetterberg and Datsyuk are great. And then, you know, you have to start relying on other guys like Abdelkader. And so I think we'll see if those guys, Darren Helm, all those kinds of guys, we'll see what they can contribute. But I think they're going to be scoring less this year, and I think they're going to need to give up less goals as a result.
Absolutely. And, yeah, that's frightening to me to hear that opinion on Howard because, yeah, they're going to be leaning on him like never before. And that really, again, isn't that kind of a dire outlook as far as any kind of a playoff run here when you look at it, that in order for the team to go anywhere, he's got to continue to raise his game, which I happen to think he's capable of. I'm a big believer in him. But having said that, he's never played without Nick Lidstrom for a stretch like this. I mean, Lidstrom would miss some games here and there, but how are you supposed to raise your game when one of the five greatest defensemen of all time is no longer skating in front of you?
It's hard, but I think the organization will also look and see how he does, and if not, maybe they'll make a trade. They, you know, they have goalies in their system, too. I mean, I really like Jake Patterson, who's a few years away. So would it be impossible for them to trade with, Keith, maybe the Kings, to get Bernier and see how he's going to do for a couple of years and then worry about their goalie situation down the road?
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it really does seem like kind of a crossroads there. Keith, back to the Kings for a second. I had read something that Barry Melrose had written where he kind of held up Dustin Brown as being one of the big keys to the team, looking at his play down the stretch last year and basically thinking that he's going to have to really get it going this year for the team to make a run like that again. Do you see him as being as instrumental as Melrose does?
Oh, and there's no question about it. I mean, when Dustin Brown popped up in the trade rumors last year and, you know, followed up with a hat trick, I definitely could have seen him as a Conn Smythe. I mean, Quick definitely deserved it, but a guy like Dustin Brown, he's got to get it going. And then the last game, he definitely did. But an interesting stat, and I can't remember where I read it. I'm going to be a little off here, but the Kings are something in the range of 90-20-6 when Andrei Kopitar scores a goal. So, Kopitar got 2 goals the other night, and Jonathan Quick are going to be the real keys. But you need a guy like a Dustin Brown who, you know, you're not looking to necessarily score every night, but, you know, take the body, set people up. And the same thing like Mike Richard. Mike Richards needs to get going too. He's not been great. I definitely want to see a guy like Richards and Brown, really get going again, because that's where the Kings are dangerous, because during the playoffs, those two guys especially, you know, banging around and setting people up were really what helped the Kings get to that next level.
Yeah, it was very instrumental in their play down the stretch last year. You could really see that. As far as teams being covered very, very closely, Russ, from your perch, two teams that would not be in the playoffs as of right now in the Eastern Conference, as early as it is, the Rangers and Philly. Thoughts on what they've gone through in the first week plus?
They've gone through similar things. They found out that they've got some injured players. You know, the Rangers, Kreider, Flyers had Briere and a couple others. Now Scott Hartnell, a couple days ago, he's out for a long stretch. So there's some similarities there. Ilya Bryzgalov has better statistics than Henrik Lundqvist. Do I think that'll last? No, but he's Bryzgalov has played a couple of really solid games, and so maybe is changing opinions where Lundqvist has gotten out slow in the gate. You could look at, again, a guy like Rick Nash. There's an interesting dynamic with that Ranger top line, and it seems like John Tortorella keeps wanting to break it up, but he played it for 2/3 of the game, double-shifted against Toronto, and got a win based on that because they were down 2-0. No other reason, because the Leafs defense is horrible. But the interesting dynamic is when you have a guy like Gabrick and a guy like Richards, Richards will do a little bit of the dirty work. Gabrick does none of it. I saw him waiting around the center ice in one of the games earlier in the week, just sort of waiting for that Mario Lemieux fast break. And Nash is hitting people in the corners. He's making defensive plays, and he is sort of doing the dirty work. And it's kind of tough, because now if you are going to have Rick Nash do that, there's no way he's going to get to the point level you'd expect him to. So I think they're still figuring out things, and I think John Tortorella has been very stubborn in his approach. Like, he's not going to change anything, but he's going to have to change things, because with a team playing a condensed schedule, you're going to have to roll more lines that he doesn't like to do, and you're going to have to play those bottom defensemen more, which he doesn't like to do. And so I think some of those things have sort of bitten him out of the gate. Also, he shortened practice. They had a 6-day practice. They shortened it to 5 because one day was video work. You know, maybe that wasn't a good move. And then after their first game or second game, they had a day off. You know, so he's sort of treating it like last year, and these things don't help you get off to a good start.
No, they certainly don't. And, one of the teams that probably, when you look at the Nash trade, was probably more handicapped by a lack of real training camp than many other teams there with the adjustments that they had to make. Also, sitting there on the Eastern Seaboard, Russ, thoughts on Boston, how hot they've been early on. Tuukka Rask, we saw a couple of years back what this guy was capable of doing.
Oh, yeah.
When he actually yanked the job from Tim Thomas for a period of time. So maybe that shouldn't be such a great surprise with the start that he's off to. But, I mean, Boston's looking like they did when they won the Cup thus far.
No question. Not a big surprise. I followed Tuukka Rask. I covered him in the World Juniors when he won Best Goalie in the tournament. So all these things are expected. I think, believe it or not, the Tim Thomas situation may have forged a really better bond with this team, because all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, listen, Tim Thomas isn't going to be here. We're going to get behind Tuukka because we know how good he is. And we can't ignore the Brian Burke fortification of the Boston Bruins, because Dougie Hamilton is another example where, you know, the Bruins didn't have any business picking where they were picking, and they get a 6'5" defenseman that they're playing on their point as a rookie, and he's producing. So, and he's really good on both ends, and he's a smart kid. He's actually going to be a doctor. So you add that to already Tyler Seguin and Bergeron and Chara and Lucic, they have a lot of guys. We may not be able to name any superstars on the Boston Bruins, but it doesn't matter. Their team system works.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of the names you mentioned there are not far from the level of being superstars. You get enough guys
True.
Like that, and you really can make up the difference. Keith, I'm very interested out in the West there. Of course, your Kings, as great of a run as it was last year, not the first team in SoCal to win the Cup. That, of course, being the Ducks a couple of years ago. They've been going through some rougher times since then, really been in the shadow of your team. They're off to a pretty good start. What are you seeing thus far of them? Do you think they can hang in and grab one of the eight playoff spots?
I really don't think so. I don't think the depth is there. You know, the other thing that you have is you got contract years for Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf. You know, I think everyone knows that Anaheim's not going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And if you're going to sign those two to a long-term contract, are you better off trading them? And I don't think you're going to get, especially with the cap next year, going to get Getzlaf and Perry under contract. You got to decide, you know, if neither of them wants to re-sign, then you got to look at moving them for, you know, picks and, you know, high-priced prospects. So, you know, definitely they're up to a good start. I don't think that they're a playoff team, although, you know, you can never really count out Bruce Boudreau down there. He tends to light a fire at least for a couple of seasons, but I just don't see Anaheim really having that depth yet. And, you know, it's early. I think we're seeing a lot of people out there who are overachieving out of the gate and then, you know, underachieving, you know, on other ends.
Absolutely. And as far as underachieving goes, Washington would be way up there. They were my pick to win the East. So that's a good question to pose to both of you guys, what you think is going on there. I mean, my first thought would be probably another team that really could have used a training camp with a new coach, Adam Oates. But, Keith, what are your thoughts from afar on what's going on with D.C. and why they're looking so putrid thus far?
I think, anytime you're adjusting to a brand new system, especially when they were playing such a hardcore defensive system before, it's going to take some time to adjust. I mean, Alex Ovechkin is just not looking like that vintage Alex Ovechkin that we thought was going to be there, you know, when Adam Oates came aboard. And, you know, Mike Green not playing like he was a couple of years ago. And, you know, goaltending in D.C. has always been kind of, you know, suspect, you know, for lack of a better word. But, you know, that said, I don't think Washington is, you know, a 14th place team in the East. I don't necessarily think they're winning the Cup unless he can do, you know, make a few moves at the deadline. But I saw them as, you know, maybe winning the division or coming in second, but definitely not this bad. But, you know, five games played, it's pretty small sample size.
I am very chagrined to say thus far, I thought they were going to win the East, but Russ, they're looking horrible. What do you think?
Yeah, I watched them the other night. It seems like the worst job, one of the worst jobs in pro sports was to be the coach of the Redskins, and now might be to be the coach of the Capitals, because you go there, you have to figure out what to do with Ovechkin. You have to please your owner, Ted Leonsis. You have a fan base that got so used to winning that they don't really accept anything else, and there's a lot of pressure. And right now, they may not have a number one goalie. I think Holtby could get there. I don't know if he's going to get there this year. We'll see. But already they're using Neuwirth. So when you have two goalies, you know what the deal is. You generally don't have anything. So I think they have that problem. They don't even know what their top line is at times. So that's a problem. That's based on the Ovechkin thing. I think they played Ovechkin the other day. They were playing it with Jay Beagle and, boy, somebody else, and it was just like they switched that quickly because it's like these guys can't even play with Alex Ovechkin. It's not – no offense to them, but they're like third-line guys. So I saw Ovechkin score a nice goal the other day. I think maybe that will help him get going a bit. But they've got bigger problems than that. They're for all this time, and I mean all this time, that the Capitals were good, their defense was pretty soft, it's gotten worse, not better.
Yeah, and that's a big problem for them. It's funny you mentioned about what's going on in that city. I think you could lump Wizards coach in that conversation as well, because what do they have outside of Wall and Beal? Although I think you couldn't say that across the board, because it looks like Davey Johnson's got a pretty sweet job right now with everything they got lined up there. Yeah, that's one of the best jobs in sports right now with that collection of young talent. The other three coaching jobs in the city, Shanny's taking heat for the RG3 thing, so maybe that's back to being a hot seat as well. As far as individual honors here, who is likely to be lifting the Hart Trophy at the end of the season? My preseason pick was Claude Giroux. I'm not gonna steer away from Giroux at this point. I'll stay on that one there. Russ, who are some of the prime ones you think could be contending for the trophy at the end of the year?
I think Stamkos will contend. I think maybe before it's all said and done, Lundqvist will contend again. I think Crosby will contend. I think he's starting to pick it up. I think the rust is starting to shake off of him. I don't know if it's going to be Giroux this year. I see a little bit of a change since he's captain, and now he's got a little more responsibility, so I don't know if he's going to be as free and loose on the ice. And then Jonathan Taves looks like a real good candidate right now. And Patrick Marleau, I mean, right now, today, I wouldn't have ever put him in the conversation because he's just a guy that does his job but generally isn't the most valuable. But you know what? He's got to be in the conversation now just because of the start he's gotten.
Yeah, that's true. The way he started the year. Now, again, we'll see if he's the Minnesota Wild of this year or if he can kind of stick around and really make it legit. Keith, in addition to any of the names that have been put out there thus far, who are some of the ones you're looking at? I gotta think Kopitar is probably right on your short list.
I would, you know, I hate to be such a fanboy, but I would put Jonathan Quick in that conversation. But, you know, from the beginning, I thought it was going to be Crosby. I thought it was something that Gary Bettman could perfectly orchestrate. I mean, yes, he's, you know, one of the best players in the world, but I thought it would be great for the National Hockey League if Sidney Crosby came back and, you know, really went forward and dominated all the categories. So, you know, Stamkos, of course. But, I mean, I would add Quick to all the other players that you guys have added just because I kind of have to, representing the West here.
No, I mean, that's a good choice. You know, certainly one of the premier goalies in the league, no question about it, based on what he did last year and was looking pretty promising even before the breakthrough.
I do love the fact that I said, hey, Crosby's got to shake off the rust, and he's still a point a game.
That's true. As you know, I'm not a big Crosby fan personally, but no, I have to admit that. I mean, the man's talent level, he's got to be in that conversation every year. As far as it goes for teams, I'll stick my neck out there. I had picked Chicago over, like I said, for a pretty bad pick right now. Looks like Washington to win the East. I'll veer away from them, and I'll say Boston. I'll say Chicago over Boston in the finals here. Again, I'm not going to put you guys on the spot unless you want to. You can just throw out some top teams, or, you know, if you happen to know who you think's going to do it. Russ, start with you. What do you see shaking out here?
Well, if I really think about it and look at it, I'll give you a final four in each conference, and I'll just go with that right now because I don't feel as definite.
Okay.
I do like Chicago. I do like St. Louis. So it wouldn't shock me if they were around near the end or one or both. And then in the East, Boston, and I'm struggling, but I still think the Rangers could be in there over Tampa, but we'll see. So I'll go Rangers, Boston, Chicago, St. Louis.
That's a pretty strong four right there. Keith, I note that the defending champs were not among any of the teams listed by Russ or myself at this point here. So what's your sense of what's likely to be going on at the end of the season?
East Coast bias. if I'm doing Final Four, for me, it's got to be Pittsburgh and Boston out of the East. Out of the West, God, I hate to say it, you know what I mean, because I cover the Kings, but, you know, maybe the Stanley Cup hangover is still there for me. But, you know, St. Louis, L.A., bonus for Chicago because it looks like Corey Crawford's got the stuff. So final five from my end.
Well, pretty strong teams there. And again, pretty strong content from everybody involved here tonight. I want to thank both of you gentlemen tremendously for a great webcast here. Russ Cohen of Sportsology and the FDH Lounge and Keith Korneluk of KingsCast. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I look forward to doing this again here at some point.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you both, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning in to another great webcast here with the FDH Lounge and Sportsology.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.